All right, let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 7. I have another meditation for us today. Now, normally what happens is that as I go about every day, things happen and then I have a message which I feel like I should help people with. That's just the basis of all of this. In fact, this one now, what am I talking about today? It's just what my wife and I were talking about on the phone. She's not in town, so she called me. We're just gisting a lot on the phone. And among the things that we discussed, I just said, all right, fine, another thing that people must learn. All right, the book of Matthew chapter 7. I want to read from around... let me just start from verse 1. It said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank? All right? This is near New King James I'm reading. And you do not consider the plank in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. That is how you're going to see clearly. For that reason, he said in verse 5, hypocrite, what you need to do is this. First, remove the plank from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, that's just what I want to read. Bear that one in mind and quickly open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. I want us to take these meditations home today, and I've titled it, Judging Yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, here he was speaking, we read it recently anyway, he was speaking about the communion table. But what I want to bring out is what he said concerning judging again in verse 31. He said, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. He said, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. That is, what he was saying in that verse 32 is that sometimes problems come into our lives. If you see, he said, in verse 30, talking about people who drink and eat that's of the Lord's table unworthily. He said in verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, he was not explaining that these things, that is when people are weak and they are sick, all right, that what's happening is that God is judging them, all right? So he said that you can prevent the judgment of God by judging yourself first. But if you don't do that, what will happen is that God will have to come and judge you. And the reason why he's doing that is that so you may not be condemned with the world. But what I want to bring out is the fact that there is judgment that will come upon us in life if we are not careful, if we don't judge ourselves first. So I brought out two things. Number one, the book of Matthew chapter 7. That is, Jesus said, before you can see the speck in somebody else's eye, you should remove the log that's inside your eye also. Now, the question you will ask yourself, how do I know there is a log in my eye? Do you get what I'm saying? Because the Bible says clearly that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. So how do I know there is what? A log in my eye. It's actually a very important question for us to bear in mind. All right? Now, the last thing I just want to read is Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. From verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Please, I want us to understand something here. I'm talking about judging yourself. Now, he said, if any man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, all right? He said, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. He said, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. All right, so this is the point I just want to get out here. The issue of judging yourself. Now, I've read a number of scriptures to bring out some issues. And then, I probably won't read many other scriptures. Let's just read this one, explain a few things, and then we are out of here. Now, first, let me remind us of something. There's a message I preached some time ago, which I titled, The Right Spirit. What did I call it? The Right Spirit. Now, you remember... And this is what I used to explain it. When Joseph came before Pharaoh, what happened was, after he explained the dream and the interpretation thereof, of course, and then gave them the plan for how to overcome or prevent the problems that the famine was going to bring. What did Pharaoh say to him? He said, can we find a man as wise and as discreet as you are? He said, because you can see in you dwell the spirit of the gods. Do you understand my point? Now, if you go and read the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they came before Nebuchadnezzar, the same issue was up. That is, they perceived that he had an excellent spirit. That is, the excellent spirit that was found in him, Daniel especially, was why the king put him above every other person. Are you getting my point? And if you see every time that, all right, problems will come, and Daniel will come and solve it. What's always pointed out is the fact that the man had what? An excellent spirit, all right? Now, so you find out that the elevation that Joseph had in life was because of this kind of spirit that he had. And the elevation that Daniel experienced all the time was because of what? The kind of spirit that he had. I've said this 100,000 times, but I can never stop saying it. And that's for Christians to understand that the way life is that it is controlled by spiritual forces. If you listen to what I taught on radio on Monday and something, and I think the week before, all right, that's the episode before this last Monday zone, I explained something about when Jesus spoke and that he spoke casually. Now, in fact, I have to put something down so that I can emphasize that and people should read it very well. When he looked at that tree and he spoke against the tree, you can be sure that he did not speak with so much seriousness. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. I explained, if you listen to that radio broadcast, I explained it, that he virtually spoke casually to the tree. That is, he just looked and said, what's wrong with this tree? Nonsense tree. This tree is supposed to die. I'm giving you in pidgin English now. He just spoke casually to the tree and he left. He wasn't planning to come and check up on the tree. He wasn't planning to think about the tree. As soon as he spoke against the tree, he left the place and the tree was not an issue. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's just the way he handled the matter. It was Peter that brought up the issue later that, master, the tree that you spoke against has died. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. That you see that he had the strength, that's what I'm bringing out, in his spirit. So strong that once he just spoke something casually, let me explain what I'm going to say. If somebody annoyed Jesus Christ, all right, and let me explain this again, this is potentially available for every believer in Christ Jesus. If Jesus was driving on the road and somebody harassed him, and then he didn't, maybe, of course, his temperament, you'll understand that he will hardly respond. That's just the way it is. That's what the kind of person that Jesus was. He will hardly respond if you insulted him on the way. Most likely, he will just walk away and never say anything to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, but if you challenge him on the way and you arouse him to anger and he looked and said, why are you driving this kind of nonsense car and you are still opening your mouth? That car is dead. I don't know what I get my point. He hasn't said anything. All you have to look at this rubbish car the guy is driving. That car will be in the junkyard by next day. For Jesus to call your car rubbish is a dead car. That's what he did to the tree. You just look at it. All these nonsense trees around the environment. Do you understand my point? Just chopping nutrients and not producing anything. They're supposed to die. And he kept going. And that was it. The tree was condemned to death. Now, things like that really still happen. No, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Bishop Oedipo told a story many years ago. He said, you know, because of the persecution that he experienced when he went to Kaduna, all right? You know the way it is. Kaduna is quiet now. Those days, it was a hot spot. You know, the spirit now shifted to places like Kano. Before that time, the spirit was in Kaduna causing riots. When last did you hear of religious riots in Kaduna? It's been a very long time. That time, it was a serious matter. For information, Bishop Oedipo didn't take it easy. Anyway, amongst the harassments they will experience, churches will experience, is that you build a church somewhere, local government will come next day and say, this is a residential area. You know, all kinds of things just to intimidate you. He said one day, he came out of a prayer meeting, all-night prayer meeting, and they served him a letter that they said that this church is in the wrong area, so they are instructing them to close, all right? So he just looked at the letter and said, hi, why should this man kill himself? And folded it, and the man died. He wasn't even praying about the man. He just looked at it like, hey, why did this man decide to kill himself? That's the man who signed the letter. And that was it. The man died. Look, let me tell you the truth. The way God designed life to be as a believer, I'm going to put that in. In fact, when I finished teaching on radio, I said, no, I have not explained this thing enough, this matter of faith. What Jesus said, first of all, is have faith in God. When you develop your faith in God to a level, you will speak casually about situations, and the situations will respond. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. I don't want to talk about that one in detail. What I want to explain is the fact that what controls physical things are spiritual. Now, I believe that tree didn't die by, by a mystery that people couldn't understand. If you dug up the root of that tree, you will find the worms that killed it. If you examine that tree, you will find the physical events that led to the death of the tree. But the physical events were set in motion when Jesus spoke. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the Spirit in his words, all right, directed the things around so that worms, if that was what happened, went towards the tree and began to eat it. I was watching, I don't know which news channel recently, they were describing land that has been overtaken by desert. And if you did any amount of geography, they tell you about desertification, how sand dunes move and all of that. And you know, people are talking about global warming, global cooling, global this. And then I just laughed to myself. I said, you people don't understand. Why did that wind blow down south? Why didn't it blow the other direction? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That's where the power of the Spirit comes in. You can explain geographical events as much as you want, but one question you will never be able to answer is, why did this start? Do you get my point? You can explain that it's because wind was blowing and the sand was moving, that it has now turned that place to a desert. You ask yourself a question. Why didn't rain fall and drown the sand? Listen, sand didn't make desert. God made the place a desert. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That is what God said is that, I can bring forth water where there was no water, and I can dry the one where water was plenty. What happens? The people just, God will look at the people and say, in fact, you know, I've said this one, it sounds like a joke, but go and check it. Everywhere Islam starts flourishing, desert starts coming. That's just the way it is. You think it's a joke that all the main Muslim countries in the world, now desert, even in Nigeria, the spread of Islam, it attracts desertification. I know what I'm saying. Sounds funny, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Anyway, this is the point I'm making. The things that you see physically are controlled by the things that are in the spirit. They are not controlled by those physical things themselves. In fact, it's stated clearly in Hebrews chapter 11. All right? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that were visible. That is, before those things that we can see became, the things that are led to them were not visible. Are you getting my point? Now, I don't want to dwell on that because these are general principles that have been explained again and again. What I just want to bring out from there is that that's how your life is. That's how my life is. That's how God has designed life to be for people. What will come towards you, all right, or go away from you is decided by the kind of spirit that you have. I talked about judging yourself. I've not forgotten my meditation. It's the kind of spirit that is dwelling inside you that decides how life responds to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's just the way it is. I used my physics to explain it before, all right? That if you introduce a magnet into a coil of wire, you understand what I mean? Instantly, what does it do? Electricity is generated, all right? And that's the way it is. Anytime a human being, all right, with the power in his soul goes somewhere, the things around respond to his presence. And that's when we're using the word spirit. There's a kind of force that comes out from inside you. Now, listen, you have control. Now, let me say it like this. A lot of us in life, and the way we've been taught a lot of times, and you've heard me say it, I believe in reading motivational books. It's good. But no matter how much you preach motivation to a dead man, he remains dead. Do you get what I'm saying? You can only awaken a giant that's sleeping. If you find a man who's dead, he's dead. You can shout from into his heart, from now till tomorrow, he's the dead man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. When you are reading business books, they tell you that 5 steps to building the greatest company. I have read around a bit. In fact, I'm reading more now because, don't forget our spiritual, economic, empowerment and development strategies. I have not forgotten. Every time I'm preparing for it. So I read around, all right? And I've seen confusion in books. Confusion in books. That is, they will tell you that these are the steps to making it. The other person will write a book on the people who took those steps and never made it. I told you I read a book titled Why Smart Executives Fail. That is, people who have built great companies, at the end of the day, you just say that they did something and they failed. Now, Please. I'm trying to explain something. There are a lot of those principles people use. I call them principles of what? Harvest. Not seed time. And you cannot teach principles of harvest to a man who doesn't have seed in the ground. Do you get what I'm saying? I read a quote from the mouth of Paul Getty. He said, the secret to success, I said, this is why you should be careful who you read. He said, rise early, sleep late, strike oil. I said, there's nothing like that. It is vain for a man to rise early and to sleep late. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's what the Bible says. That's what God said. I don't care that Paul Getty was the richest man in the world. But I noticed one thing. He said, strike oil. I have read his book on how to be rich. And nothing on earth can help you determine when you strike oil. He said it. There are leases he will give up on land because he felt it's dry, no oil inside. Somebody else will buy it and strike oil. There are some he will buy, and people give up on it that there's nothing in here, and he will strike oil. I said, you see, that's where blessedness comes in. That's where the purpose of God comes in. It's not the rising up early or the retiring late. There are those who rose up early, retired late, drilled and drilled and drilled, and never struck oil. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the things that control what really comes towards people, that's what I'm explaining. It's invisible. It's in the realm of the unseen. You get what I'm saying? And I'm explaining to us today that the vital thing is that word that the Bible calls spirit. That the kind of spirit that somebody has is what determines whether he will be blessed or he will not be blessed. It's not the kind of business books he read. Listen, blessedness confers wisdom upon you. That is, if God determines you'll be blessed. Listen, in fact, I like the way somebody said it. That before business books were written, before business schools were started, people were doing business. Are you getting the point? And that is, what is he trying to explain? That the so-called business books and business schools, they teach things that people experience first. The principles were written out of people's experiences. People did not experience things because of those principles. What am I trying to explain? Therefore, those who first brought forth the experiences upon which were founded those principles, what led them in the direction that they followed? I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is a part of it I'm explaining. It's the spirit that is inside them. What am I saying? Every believer in life, your focus must be on the kind of spirit that you have. I hope I've laid a good foundation. I hope you're following what I'm trying to say. Now, let's get back to the issue of judging yourself that I'm talking about. Now, having said the issue of the word spirit, when we say the word spirit, Christians often misunderstand something. They say, I've been born again, I have the spirit of Christ. That is true. I'm not disputing that fact. All right? I'm not disputing it. It's in the scriptures. But that doesn't mean you can't have a wrong spirit. Are you getting my point? People can have, in fact, how do I explain this? You can have a thorough mixture of all kinds of spirits operating inside you. Yes. Now, the basic thing inside the heart of the believer, all right, is that he has a seed of God that leads him in a particular direction. Do you get my point? But depending on the kind of association you keep, the kind of places you go, the kind of words you hear, you can infuse into yourself a wrong spirit. What did he say concerning Lucifer? He said, by the multitude of your trading, you have filled the midst of thee with violence. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It's very important. And then I said something earlier. We discussed that one of our Saturday meetings. That the fact that somebody has been born again does not mean he automatically has the right spirit. It's not true. Okay? We looked at the case of Simon the sorcerer, who still thought that if you want, we practice these days, if you want to tap into a man of God's anointing, give him an offering. You know we practice it, don't we? Yeah, we do. I mean, he came up and Peter looked at him and said, look at this man. Let me summarize it. He still has the wrong spirit. He doesn't get the point yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when we're talking about spirit, now I'm talking about the kind of motivation, the kind of things that are inside people, the kind of laws of the spiritual realm that are operating inside them. When I say laws operating inside them, there's a spirit of jealousy. There's a spirit of anger. Are you getting my point? There is a spirit of lust. There is a spirit of greed. And Paul had to explain to people, to believers, that they have to consciously war against those things. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you see, my message today is what I'm trying to get down to. The main thing I want to say is on this judging yourself. Jesus said that before you judge other people, all right? He said before you see the speck in somebody else's eye, Why don't you try and remove the log in your own eye? Now, I've said all these things that I've said so far to bring out an issue. Oh, there's a book I was reading. Oh, it's downstairs in the car. Kingsley gave it to me, and there was some. The foreword in the book was by Desmond Tutu, and it says something that those days in South Africa, in the heat of apartheid, he used to tell the white people and the government that better move over to the winning side, that we have won. Apartheid is dead. And that people will look at him as if he's crazy. He said, why was it that he was speaking like that? He said, because he understood that there is no government based on wrong principles that can ever last. That eventually they will collapse. That he was so sure of it. And he wants everybody else to hear now that if you're operating your country, your government, by the wrong attitude, the wrong spirit, the wrong principles, one day it's coming to an end. Please, I'm explaining something there. All right? That if somebody has a spirit of jealousy, his kingdom will not endure. Look, he can build a great business, but you see basically inside him that a man has a spirit of greed. Just know that that business will not grow forever. You know, I like something that happened in Nigeria recently, that the Nigerian stock market slowed down very much, that he just ground to a halt. I thought the thing had stabilized. Yesterday, I tuned to channel business news, I think it was last night. And they had the stock market go, it didn't go well at all. The thing had dropped again. So I've not even checked it in a long time. So because of that, I now checked, I think it was a paper in my bedroom, and I checked it later in the night. I said, these things, they are still going down. Oh my God. And I smiled. If I'm really interested, okay? If I was a real serious business person, for me, this is time to start buying things. You see, just buy the real companies. Don't buy all those fly-by-night, double your money overnight kind of companies. Look for real companies that are planning to grow, that are doing good business, and their stock price has dropped. Just, you know, be mopping up. You become a very serious owner of it. You're not in a hurry. Anyway, but why am I saying, talking about that? Because I found out that one of the reasons why it happened the way it did, because the spirit of greed, Nigerians had poured it into it, and God showed us messing that it crashed. It didn't crash, it slowed down early. A lot of people bled. People almost committed suicide, even this small one. Because of this, there's speculation. That is, you know, I'm talking about the spirit of greed now, the spirit of greed. And I'm so happy that before then, I told people this is the issue. This greed people are perpetrating here is not good. It will help us. You can double your money in 3 weeks. How? So people started borrowing money from banks. And the banks, before Charles Soludo reined them in, although it wasn't necessary anymore, by the time he was reining them in, the stock market was already slowing down by itself. All right? You say, we can lend you money to buy stocks. They had to stop that thing in Vietnam so that their stock market wouldn't crash. They banned the banks from lending people money to buy stock because that drove up the price arbitrarily. Now, please, let me know. I'm not talking business. I'm not explaining a principle. It's the spirit of greed I'm talking about. No matter what you do, you can't sustain it forever. One day it's going to come crashing down. They asked George Bush, what do you think is causing all the mortgage crisis in America and everything? He said, Wall Street got drunk. I said, the spirit of drunkenness. He led to serious economic problems in the American market. The spirit of drunkenness is, go and read the Revelations. It's the spirit of the harlot. You know, he had wine in her hand, thoroughly mixed, sharing with all the kings. Everybody was being drunk with the wine of her adulteries. I'm serious. These things are very true. Very, very real. What am I saying? The kind of spirit the people had was what crashed the stock market. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, if you have the wrong spirit, believer or not, if I go to the children of Israel, and these things were recorded for our learning, he said, I'm taking you in, not because of your righteousness, but because of their wickedness. He said, listen to this. If you practice the same wickedness they practice, I will also take you out the way I took them out. That is, the world will suffer and have economic collapse because of their wrong spirit. Believers practice it. In fact, their own is even worse. What I'm saying, I hope you are following it. Therefore, whatever I want to do, we're going to discuss this one in details. All right, when we're talking about the seeds. Anything you want to do. Even when it comes to, you say, I want to take my company public, I will discuss it. We'll spend a day on it. What is the motivation behind it? Want to rake in investors' money quickly? You will eat the money, it will choke you. But my message is what? judging yourself. I'm just putting all of this together to let us understand the importance of judging ourselves. All right? Now, what do I mean by judging ourselves? First, we have to discover that, you know, it's important we know when we have a wrong spirit. That's what I'm trying to bring out. And the main thing I want to explain to us today is something that I have practiced. And when I was talking to my wife this morning on the phone, I just said, I think it's the Spirit of God that taught me. Now, I'm not bragging about this. No, this is not bragging. I'm just telling, in fact, I told my wife that I just have to give God thanks for it. One of the things that I find I hardly notice in me as a parent, and this is not bragging, I want to use it as an example to teach you something, is I'm never jealous of anybody. Never, ever, ever. Now, are you a good man? No. I think what happened, because that's what I was teaching my wife when we were talking, I said, what must have happened? I can't remember, but I'm sure it happened along the line. One day, I discovered the spirit of jealousy, and I confessed it to God, and I took it away. Now, get what I'm saying? As per cleansing us of all unrighteousness, it's very easy for God to do. What he wants, go and read Jeremiah chapter 3, is for you to acknowledge that I have that wrong spirit. When you do, that's what he meant by if you confess your sins. Look, what I'm saying is very, very, very important. If something led to it, when my wife and I were talking, he described an experience she had. She's not in town, she traveled. And I said, you see, this is the issue. People are wicked. Do you know, there are people that, why am I even saying, do you know? You know, as a matter of fact, there are people that when other people are making progress, it hurts their soul. Now, see, we all nodded, it's true. All right? Good. You have seen the speck in their eyes. One thing I learned some time ago is that anytime I hear that somebody displayed specks in his or her eyes, the first thing I do, I pause for a while. I say, God, are you sure I don't do this? The Spirit of God is very alive. He's waiting for that moment. He will jump in and remind you of two episodes in which you did that. And if you find it, don't, oh God, please hear me. Don't ever rationalize it. And no, it was because that, once it pops up, all he said, go on Jeremiah chapter 3, is only acknowledge your iniquity. Just say, God. Listen to me, let me tell you. Because he said, if you don't judge yourself, that's what he meant by judging yourself. One day, you will experience God's judgment. And that one is harder. That one is tougher. You suffer more that way. Do you get my point? I remember once, I had a colleague. I hope he never listens to this message. Because I can't cut it off. It's very important. I work with somebody. Let me just summarize like this. And I'd never seen somebody more difficult than that in my life. In my opinion, this guy is heartless. In my opinion, this guy does not want anybody else to progress. Having observed everything, I saw a man who you couldn't reason with. I still remember very well. You know the first thing that came to my mind? I hope I don't treat my wife like this. Because I suddenly understood the kind of frustration a woman will have at home if her husband is like this. That day I remember very well. I whipped out my phone. Baby, how are you doing? I'm fine. Anything? No, I just wanted to greet you. How now? What are you doing? What are you doing? I was just chatting her up. All I'm thinking of is that, God, I hope I don't treat this young woman like this guy behaves. And for a long time, I kept on checking for anytime I behave this difficult. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Let me tell you what it means. If you have the wrong spirit, you will download a curse into your environment. What I'm saying is making sense to you. I'm talking about judging yourself. What I do, and that's the meditation I want to share with you today, is that anytime I hear or I observe and I see that somebody did something that is, you know, it's so, I think it's the Holy Spirit. In the last many months, if it's been like that for a long time, first thing I do is I start checking. Hey, banky. How far now? Just so you not be like this. Because you wouldn't know until somebody points out to you. The Bible says clearly now, every man's ways is right in his own eyes. So that's why I read that scripture. And let me tell you, this is the advantage Christians have. And the advantage is called what? The Holy Spirit. He guides you into all truth. Listen, let me tell you how to pray. You know what he said here? If anyone is overtaken in what? In an offense, in iniquity, in sin, by sin. That's Galatians chapter 6. Those of you, let me put my own words, who think you are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of what? Meekness or gentleness. He said, checking yourself. That is, not like, a whole man of God. Adultery care. I don't believe it. These men these days, I don't know what's wrong with them. God should put them out of ministry. I can't. All right. Ha. Satan will begin dance. Okay, now. Another victim. That he knows he has caught you. He knows he has caught you. You open your mouth, especially publicly like that, Satan knows he's got you. I don't know whether it's good to use this example, but you remember the story of Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, 1987. When Jim Baker told the story of one encounter, he refused to accept the word affair. The affair is when you are seeing a woman and calling her, you know, you have a relationship. An encounter, now I don't know the word you use, but I'm using the word encounter. An encounter is different. He never knew the girl from anywhere. It's a very long story. One supposed man of God was the person that arranged the babe for him. You know, God's judgment is interesting. That guy died shortly after from meningitis. No, God judges people. I just want to say that God doesn't. It's just Satan. It's a lie. God is worse than Satan when it comes to doing bad things. Where did Satan learn it from? What does Satan know how to do? God said, I created evil. If I want a man to suffer, I know how to do it. Satan doesn't know anything. What does Satan know about making people miserable? When I want to make people miserable, I invent something special. People will be praying for death. God said, no, you ain't die yet. I have not punished you enough. I'm serious. Word of faith people, Pentecost, we don't like hearing it. We say, God only does good things. I always say, pray that he doesn't show you the other side of God. Why did the Bible say it is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God? Don't give me that funny doctrine, all right? That man died from meningitis shortly after. Shortly after that, he was sick. And for an American to die from meningitis, you know it's a curse. If it was an African now, we say this continent, it's a dangerous continent. This is an American, died in an American hospital from meningitis. You know that it's God that killed him. Anyway, this is the story. This happened years before the thing became public. And I didn't hear it. The other man of God, let me not even mention names now. The guy went on TV lambasting all these preachers who are not serious. You know, he was just talking. One man looked at him and said, why is this man talking like this? I'm sure his life is not straight. That the people who rail against things like this, their lives are not straight. So he put a detective on him. Just a few days after, they found out that at night, the guy, they go carry a Ajewo. I know American Ajewo. You give him half small money. He start singing. The other day, I heard the Ajewo singing that Ronaldo slept with her with his boots. And I told myself, these people are really crazy. So must you come and tell us? We don't want to know. Who told you want to know? So they give American Ajewo small money. She begins single. Compose correct album of everything that happened. They now put that one on TV. Say, come and see Pastor. Listen, what happened to him was not that he sinned. What happened was that he had the spirit of pride, the spirit of jealousy, and when somebody else was overtaking an offense, the spirit of pride rose up and said, me? No, forget. And let me tell you the truth. I don't believe he started doing that thing. I believe that thing started in his life after the other spirit of pride and criticism and the spirit of jealousy, when they began to manifest, those were the ones that opened the door for the spirit of adultery. Do you get my point? That's why Paul said it like that in Galatians chapter 6. Anytime you see something, and that's why, I said, how do you know whether there's something in your eyes? That's what I'm teaching today. How do you know there's something in your eye? It's simple. Once you notice it elsewhere, before you point, check whether that fingers are facing. Put the finger back inside first and pray. And the way I have, and with me, God has helped me with this. It works. It's like I just gently bow down my head somewhere and pray, say, God, I hope I don't do this. You know, my wife does business. I see, you know, she will tell you stories, things that she encounters. And if anytime you finish telling me something, the first thing that comes to my mind is that, I hope I don't behave like this. Do you get what I'm saying? In my mind, I say, I hope I don't behave like this. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing up something. How will you know whether you have a log in your eye? It's very simple. Two things. Number one, notice a speck elsewhere first. But before you comment on the speck, you commence with a prayer. God, please, oh, I hope I am not like this. Peradventure, I am like this. Because listen, the day I met the guy who was difficult, who appeared to me like he didn't want anybody else to progress, I saw how everybody else felt. And because he was the boss in the place, and I remember that I'm the boss at home, I'm telling the truth. I instantly took my phone and began to chat my wife up. How you doing now? It's not as if she complained about anything. I was just feeling like, yeah, if I've been like this at home, I think I'm deserving of judgment. So let us quickly ask for mercy. You follow the point? I said, let us quickly ask for mercy. Let me tell you something. There are places that God wants to take people to in life. Why he's delaying, all right, is because they have not yet gotten the correct spirit. The person my wife was telling me she had an encounter with yesterday. I said, imagine if that kind of person was in government office. The country can never prosper. It's not possible. Do you know there are people? I've heard this one before. When they launched GSM in Nigeria, of course, you know the way phones are now. Phone is not everywhere. It's not an issue that we have to be praying and releasing negative words against phones so that they don't ring inside Bible study. You know, if your phone rings when I'm preaching and you left on deliberately, the phone is about to die. You know, I've seen that. Don't be the one to give the testimony of that. My phone died because of Pastor Bank. Once you enter where I'm preaching, quench your phone. Now, I'm trying to say something, by the way. That's how common phones have become. You know, the days of not nine not. One of my friends said they used to call it offer. That's staff of office. Show you're a big man. You have a not nine not. No, the thing that's inside him is the day a friend gave me his phone to hold. I mean, I was expecting a call. I had to talk with some people. So the only phone I could use was a friend's own. And then phones are even getting commoner. But this was before GSM. Even me, I held it with pride. I answered it properly, crossed my leg wherever I was, and was talking with. I was just feeling cool. This was many years ago. It's true. One day, one of my an auntie, she's like an auntie to me, bought a new Note 9 of those who were in Lagos. A Motorola StarTAC, one of those ones. And she couldn't be bothered to read the manual. So she gave me the manual and the whole thing to go and study. So to tell her how it works. And I remember I put it on my table in the office with pride. I still remember very well. And everybody that passed stopped. Picked up the carton. Ah, Banky. I said, it's not my own. But the effect has gone in. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's how not nine not supposed to do this. It was a sign that you had arrived. The NGSN was going to come and listen to this. And in Oka here, one man who had a not nine not, after he heard everything, he said, so what they are saying, that everybody will not have a mobile phone. And he hissed. Did you hear what I said? He said, so now everybody's going to have a mobile phone. Imagine that guy is in government office. That phone will never work in this country. His own is after people like us had paid 70,000 naira of those days, 80,000, 100K of those days to get the phone. Now you want to give it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. They say, go to Ghana. Even mechanics carry mobile phones. Very funny. Even my son carries mobile phone these days. And the boy is only, it's not yet 6 years, it's about 5 years and a half. That they had to leave the house. Just to be contacting them, I left the mobile phone for him. So anytime you see daddy on the screen, it's me. Press this button and talk. Then he has reached that level. Celtel will give you a brand new phone with line for 2005. How do you make 2005? Just go and carry Pong Pong for 12 hours for 2 days. 2005 is yours. That's it. You have a Celtel line. But the man thought that it's going to happen like this in this country. and he hissed. When you see such things, before you start shouting, "Come on, wicked soul," you ask yourself, "God, I hope I don't, you know, stand in the path of progress because of personal, because of the pride of life like this." That's what I'm going to make. Listen, no, because until God cleanses you of all those things, you're not going anywhere. Do you get what I'm saying? Until God cleanses you of all those things, you are not going anywhere. Look, the reason why God won't let you go there is because you will spoil everything. Because whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. You know what people don't get? You know, I have a book that's coming out. It's titled Grace to Prosper. I want to redefine this seed thing. People think that seed is you give money so you can get something. No. It's not always like that. That is, if you give, all right, it's a law of the realm of the spirit you will get. But you don't give so that you can get. You just give. It's part of life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's part of life, all right? Let's get that point very clear. But the point I'm making is that it's not only money that's seed. An attitude of the heart is a seed. Do you get my point? That attitude of the heart that manifests in certain kinds of behavior when you go to certain kinds of places is a seed. It is telling you whether you will go far or you won't go far. I'm telling you the truth. Even this money matter about giving money as offering as seed and all of that, let me tell you the truth. There are a lot of people who are giving seed, money as seed, and it's just bringing forth judgment for them from the hand of God. I'm serious about it. Because with God, motive is very important. You have a wrong motive, you're not going anywhere. What I'm telling you is a matter of truth, though. The real seed is that attitude in somebody's heart. Are you getting my point? Which now manifests in the work that the person does. In fact, there was something my wife and I were sharing. I talked about one of the ways you use money to break a wrong spirit. People think that what you do is that you go and give an offering and the spirit is broken. I said, no, that's not the way it is. If you find you're a jealous man, you notice the attitude of jealousy inside you. It's very simple. After you have prayed about it, anytime one of your friends does something that will have stirred up jealousy inside you, go and contribute to it. Do you get what I'm saying? One of the things, in fact, the way God even taught me that it's not even from that angle. It's from another angle. It says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. All right? I've learned that thing. So one thing you never hear from my mouth, go and check it. You don't hear from my mouth. It's like, oh boy, you don't buy a new car, we go wash ammo. Banky stopped saying that thing maybe like 10 years ago. I saw one of my colleagues, senior to me a bit, all right? They came for accreditation the other day in my office. As soon as I saw him, I said, Dr. A, you know, that's not his name, just as an example, all right? I said, I remember the last time I saw you. We were in Luth, and you were eating pounded yam, I remember very well. And I had to stop myself from saying, I remember I bought it for you. And I remember why I bought it for him. He just passed his final exams. He was about 2 years senior to me in this postgraduate training. So I just saw him and said, I heard you've passed though. He said, I beg. People don't pass in front of me like that and they just pass. I said, once you have passed, I must show that I'm happy. I called the guy selling the pounded yam. I still remember giving me a plate of pounded yam with egusi and chicken and a bottle of malt. And I paid for it. Didn't mean I had money. It's just my attitude. For me, it's a law. All right? Like, oh boy, you don't try. You can't wash. No, that's not me. If you are washing and I'm there, I will participate. Rejoice with them that rejoice. All right? It is correct. But I don't demand it, no. A friend of mine bought a car. Paid 2 million naira for the car. I've never seen 2 million naira gathered together like that. The first day, I took a ride in the car. He said, Bella, I said, my fuel day low. I don't feel work. I said, very good. Because I've been thinking of how to wash it for him. I said, yeah, driving to the filling station. Fuel was costly that day, I remember. I said, give him a full tank. They poured the fuel. He said, banky. I said, relax. They filled the tank to the brim. I dipped my hand in my pocket. Good enough that they had money. I counted money, paid the attendant. I said, I've just washed the car for you. Let us go. No, that is it. You are my high friend. You are building a house, and I hear. I don't have my own house. God, other people are doing this thing. Now, what about me? No. I don't pray such rubbish prayer so that God won't go and put me out of ministry. He He said he was a head in that he feared. My own is fear that God will just put you out of ministry. That concerning rubbish you talk. Other people. Eh? Because the bank, you, other people. When did our issue became other people? All goes out for face. Next thing you see, pastor, his face is swollen. What happened? God slapped him. God in heaven, this thing is slap. I don't do that. You did build a house. Ah. In fact, what the prayer I'm praying is that we get to a point I will be doing it, you know, the way we say that, give a painful offering. I was like doing it painfully. I will see a man, hey, you're building. I know it's hard in Nigeria, it's difficult to build a house. It's expensive. I just go one day and say, oh, God, beg, how much is 1 ton of cement? I don't get too much money. How much is 1 ton of cement? Tell me. If I have to pay instrumentally for a few months, I will. But that you are building that house, I must contribute. It's one of the ways you break the spirit of jealousy. After a while, that spirit will leave you alone. Say, this guy is a dangerous man. I'm telling you. After a while, the spirit will leave you alone. Say, this guy is dangerous. He just finished us for nothing. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give. He said, I wish Christians would understand this issue of giving. Giving is not bribery. It's an attitude of the heart. It's a right spirit that believers must all cultivate. I'm serious. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo says on those days. You know, well, it's really hilariously, very funny. But I think everybody should learn it. He said, anytime you see something good going on, he said, don't let your name be absent. It's not safe. That if a good thing is happening, all right, make sure you're part of it. Look, it's just, you know, anyway, I told you, when we finish this matter of the will of God, we'll settle down and talk about money. Yes, you remember that I love you, know. Before someone starts telling you to break the curse of generations with bigger offering than the one they used to create the curse, as if you were there. How are you going to assess it? One man came one day. He said, my uncle was sacrificing a cow against me. He didn't know I'd already sacrificed a messages best. I just said, God, how long are you going to endure this thing? What has sacrificing messages best got to do with breaking curses? He said, a Mercedes-Benz is bigger than a cow. I said, it's not true. A Mercedes-Benz doesn't have blood. A cow does. It is the power of blood. It's not the power of money. It is true. He said that this... Do you know what they use to sacrifice? Okay, you say... Some of those rare commodities they put inside the concussion. You can't value them in Naira. So how are you going to break the curse now? Of course, that's just a big joke. I mean, here's that kind of thing. If any preacher that's preached that kind of place, and people like me, plenty for that, the guy will be disappointed. After you finish making nothing, nobody could just answer you. You don't want to break the curse, yeah, pastor. The curse is already broken. You don't understand. The day Jesus Christ died, he broke the curse. Whether I sacrifice the screwdriver or caterpillar, it makes no difference. The curse has been broken by... I'm going to explain something. We need to understand we're going to sit down and discuss that thing in detail. I'll take at least 10 weeks going over it. So by the time you are through, nobody will toss you to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm very serious. Anyway, let me settle on my message. So I just use as an example that when you're talking about seed, those are some kinds of seeds that you sow. It's not like, I'm giving this money and God, give me something back. No. That you have that kind of habit, jealousy is dead in your life. Now, please, I'm not giving it as a charm. Do you get my point? I'm telling you the basic thing is, number one, recognize it and what? Confess it to God openly. I'm just giving that as one of what John F. Vazini used to call faith extenders. Ken Hagin told the story once of, he was very angry with one pastor. And the pastor came to his church to preach. And so, he believed it was Satan whispering in his ears that, look, don't mind him, look at him. In fact, this one that he's doing, don't give him any offering. Don't give any on the radio for coming. He can say, he looked and said, Satan, I think this must be Satan talking. This kind of nonsense thought in my mind. If it comes up again, I will give him double. So that the thought stopped. And Satan looked and said, this is a very risky one. If we keep tempting him, this guy is going to get more blessed. And I didn't want the guy to be blessed, so he left him alone. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? What have I explained so far? I am saying that, see, you are going somewhere great in life. All right? You have to first listen. God will allow you see these things in the lives of other people. Do you get my point? And that's how you know. You say, how do I know I have a log? Simple. Once you have noticed the speck, you say, I may not be seen properly. That's an indication, because he said there's no temptation that has come upon you that's not common to man. Do you get my point? So when you see things that are common with people, these are things that can happen to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you take the seed and kill it. That is, if the thing has a seed, because the problem with seeds is that they germinate, they grow. So we have to uproot them from the beginning. I told you that bitterness is a root. He said the root of bitterness springing up troubles you, all right? And you are defiled. That is the result of the little things that are inside people's heart right now. When it's going to come out later, you won't understand that, how can a Christian be like this? It's because when God showed him that he's a covetous man, he didn't confess it and wash it away. He was making an excuse that he's a nation. And the country is hard. God said, this is the spirit of covetousness. He says, because country is hard, God understands. And because of that, he's just changing himself. God can't take him anywhere far in life. Because, you see, he had given him the opportunity. Because, let me tell you something. Paul says it like that when we're reading just now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, look, it's important we judge ourselves. That's what I'm emphasizing. Do you follow my point? Because if we don't, God will have to do it. And when he does it, oh boy, he did rough. At that point in time, things become very what? Rough. And you don't want to fall into the hand of the living God. He gives us opportunity. If you see the way he said it, he said, God speaks once, twice, but men don't hear it. Are you getting my point? Men don't hear it. What have I left with us today? The idea is that as you go around, anytime you see evil in the heart of somebody, all right, is a speck in his eyes. First thing you do is look inward, say, God, I hope there's nothing happening here. Because at least for me, oh God, it has worked fantastically. I can never forget that day. I just picked my phone and called my wife. He didn't understand what was going on. I just did chat and off, sweet, sweet, for afternoon. What is all of this? I'm waiting there for that side. I mean, is everything all right? It was because I saw a difficult person. And first thing that came to my mind is, Banky, how difficult have you been? If you, as a man, you are feeling like this towards another man who is difficult and you don't live in the same house, is somebody you can be angry with, talk to anyhow, and walk out, and he can't do anything, and yet you are feeling like this. What if you are like this to a woman who you live in the same house and can't just walk out on you anyhow? How miserable have you made a child of God? Hi! Man, my heart was troubled. I know what God said. Like I said, one of the reasons why people can't acknowledge their iniquity is because they think that they have to make payment. No, God said only what? Acknowledge. That's all I'm saying. Just agree. He said he's faithful and just to forgive you of all the sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's his responsibility. I hope you've learned something. Have I explained anything to you today? Listen, there's so much wahala in the world out there. It's caused by the wrong attitude in the heart of people. That's what I want to understand. There's nothing outward. You know, today as I was driving, I forgot where I was. Okay, I was looking at all the construction in Enugu and all of that going on. And I started thinking that, oh God, please help us maintain this road zone. And I started thinking to myself, and I drove somewhere near my house, saw grass grown here, and I said, hey, these roads, when we finish doing them, I hope, because you see, you put money, say you look for much, it comes to little. And that little, you put it into pocket that has holes. It's a curse, all right? Now, what happens sometimes, what that means in literal sense is that you spend billions and billions and billions of naira building the road. It probably costs you a few millions a year to maintain it. Do you understand? But you don't do that. If you spend a few millions a year, all right, the road probably lasts you for the next 25, 30 years before you need to do major construction again. But we don't do that. At the end of 5 years, you have to start again. That's what the Bible calls putting money into pockets that have holes. So you see that the advanced countries that have much more money than we have are spending less on their roads than we are spending. They build it once and they continue to maintain. So I was telling myself that, okay, well, how come we don't do it? At the end of the day, I say it's very simple. It's not as if we don't have money. We have money. No, we know the problem? Selfishness. What's the problem? Selfishness. Somebody was telling me about the commissioner of lands in a particular state. I won't tell you which state. To sign C of O, he will tell you 1 million naira. You start negotiate. You didn't buy the land from his father. The community you bought it from, you paid them completely. Augustine CFO now, he said, do you know how much it cost me to get to this office? I have to recover my money. I'm serious. One of these states somewhere around is selfishness. Are you getting my point? So you see the roads. Look, we have money. Oh, in Jesus' name, we have. It's just that people think that it is them first before everybody. Even the Chinese philosopher Confucius understood, and he taught people that the fastest way to go forward is to help other people go forward. Even Confucius, not a Christian, he taught the Chinese people that, oh boy, you want to go forward, help other people go forward. That is the quickest way to go forward. The problem we have is what? Selfishness. What we call corruption. I think the better word is selfishness. Is the spirit of what? Selfishness. And that's why every Christian that wants to go far in present day Nigeria, he must search himself every day to be sure that that spirit has not infected him or her. It's very important. If you find that you have to make a decision and you are thinking of yourself first, just know that Pastor Banky said you won't go far in life. How you will be benefited is what comes first. Just know that Pastor Banky said, if you want to start sinning, you better go and start, because as a righteous man, you are not going far. It's a matter of fact. Until you can put other people first and be more interested in what will help everybody else develop before you become concerned about your own, until you get to that point, God can put you in a high place. I started by explaining there's a kind of spirit that you have that God will use to determine where he's going to put you in life. You have the spirit of excellence, you have the spirit of love, the spirit of joy, the spirit that rejoices when another person is making progress. That if you have that kind of spirit, there's no how you won't go far. I have a lot of brethren, and I'm one of them, that I know they will go very far in life. Because I see the way they rejoice at other people's progress. When I went for a convention last time, one of my friends drove in, I think, a limited edition on XLE Model 2, 2008 Toyota Camry. Brand, and he drove in. All of us gathered and said, oh boy, we must rent this car. You know, I still remember I look at the face of everybody. It was just excitement. It was just what? Excitement for this guy. Look, my God, this is your car. Oh boy, did you buy it with money? He said, no, but it is mine. It's official car. I said, yes, it's official, but it's official and private. I said, can I have the key? We jumped inside, we're driving the car around. Everybody was just rejoicing. Said, there's nobody, let me prophesy on their behalf, there's nobody that rejoiced at the sight of that car that won't drive something better than it. I'm telling you the truth. Those are the little things that, you know, people, in fact, I was telling my mind, we're discussing. I said, that guy, all right? There's something, I can't give you all the details now. I said, but that guy you're describing, it's obviously somebody who doesn't enjoy other people making progress. And I said, when he starts praying and God doesn't answer, he won't know why. Suddenly, he'll remember his mother-in-law. Poor mothers-in-laws. Suddenly, remember that his wife's auntie, that woman is a witch. They start remembering and start blaming other people. Nobody will say, where is God, my maker? You know, don't forget that quotation. Like I say, well, it has become a quote, but this is what I say it all the time. It said, your enemies are just as strong as your relationship with God is weak. The determination of the strength of your enemies is the weakness of your relationship with God. If with God you are strong, there's no enemy that can be against you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, God is alive and is well, and his eyes are watching you. He says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. Enemies. What is enemy? Anybody who doesn't love his own life, be my enemy. He said to Abraham, and Abraham's blessings, they are mine. He said, I will curse them that curse you. Anybody that doesn't wish me well already has a God shall not wish him well anointing on his head. That is everywhere he's going. God said, look at that boy. All my angels, look at him. He doesn't love Banky. Ah, the angels say he doesn't love Banky. Slap him for fun. No, that's how God does. So if God leaves you and allows enemies to assail you and succeed, then just know that God has an issue with you personally. You have departed from him. As small as Israel was as a nation, listen, this is a matter of fact. there was no nation big enough on the earth. There was no nation big enough to fight them and overcome them unless they sinned. In fact, the other nations used to get stronger as Israel used to get more sinful. The more sinful Israel became, the stronger their enemies became. And every time they reconcile themselves to God, you know, he said, if my people that are called by my name will humble, that's the word, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God will look down from heaven. And that's when he will return them out of captivity and he will heal their land. Listen, those things were recorded for what? Our learning. Every experience you have every day, God is using it to show you the kind of spirit that you have. All those nonsense, devilish spirits, spirits of anger, jealousy, pride. You know? This is not where my mates are. It's called pride. One day, one of my cousins, that my auntie was saying about in the house, she was just whining and grumbling. And then they served her on plate. You know, normal ceramic plate, though. And she was eating, said, she doesn't even understand. This is not the kind of plate her mates used to eat. I got up and looked at her and said, auntie, one person don't chop belly full, now they talk like this. I just walk. That is, I didn't even know what I talked to. She's my senior. Why well? I was so angry. I just got up and walked away. I said, auntie, when people have eaten and they are full, they don't know what's going on. They now start telling me the kind of plate that their mates are using to eat. I use rubber to eat in my house. Whose problem is it? It's my house. Which one is my mate? This is my house. I don't care what you are using to eat in your house. All those kind of nonsense statements of pride, we won't allow people to go forward. And that's why they start buying cars that they can't afford. And these days, the banks have lined up to ruin the lives of people for them. You know, they are very good at it. How much do you earn? They see, okay. 25% of your income can pay the loan. No wahala. Which one do you want? You want a Kia, Sportage, or Sorento? We'll buy it for you, no problem. After that, you become our slave. You'll be using tithes and offering because of motor car. Oh God, if you didn't enter Koto, you know, all your fiber will, yeah, that is one half of my income. I can't be entering gutter like that. Why? This is not what my mates are driving. Oh boy, in this life, you not get mate though. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't have any mate. Get the point. You are running your race alone. You don't have any mate. You don't have any mate. You don't have any mate. Look, see, as you see me so, there's nobody that's my mate. Okay, I have one mate. His name is Banky. And I have a helpmate. Her name is Ufoma. That's my wife. And that's all. We are just the mates. They are all the names that mates that I know. Me and my wife. There's no other mate. And any car I drive, enter, my wife will enter. I thank God for the kind of wife I married. Oh, in Jesus' name, God bless her abundantly. My wife has never whined and complained about, as God is my witness, about this is not, my mate. I have promised her and I will fulfill it. There's no continent on this earth I won't take you to. And there is no place, if you mistakenly open your mouth, I want to go to space, I will pay $200,000 to Richard Branson to fly you to. No, he has launched it. The prototype is out. By, I think, next year or 2 years' time, they start flying people to space for $200,000. If you open your mouth by accident one day and say, my husband, I think I would like to go to space. Before you finish, I have paid the $200,000. Why? Because the time I didn't have money, you never complained about your mates. It's a vow I have made. Oh, I was telling my wife something today about offering. People don't know how to give offering. There are different ways. We'll discuss that when we're talking about money. Let me just give it to you and then we'll go. There are different ways you give offering. Go, reading from the Old Testament, things that were written as types, I have discovered different ways you give offering. One of those ways is how you have to waste something. There's a kind of increase I have experienced, all right, recent times, but financially it will be manifested maybe. That's my office, all right. Maybe next year, I don't know exactly when they will do it. But the point is, I was discussing with my wife, I said, look, this is how I do first fruit of my own increase. He would say, you take it to a church. Listen, it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. All right? But let me teach you the correct principle. The person that God used to bring that in your way is the instrument of God you're supposed to take it to. Your parents sent you through school. You are an idiot if you take that money to church. You take the money to your parents. If it's your uncle, you take the money to him. That's the instrument of God. That's how you give to God. When my book comes, I read, there's a chapter on how to give to God. There's God everywhere. Those beggars on the street, there are some things you give to them and you have given them to God. But the one, why I digress into that is to explain this one to you. I told my wife, I said, part of it, all right? I said, when I want to give offering sometimes, I said, this money is an offering. I start sharing it. This one goes here. This is ministry. I put some. I said, another one I do, which is a matter of fact. And I was telling my wife, that one, when God does something like that, I will do, you will say, you must not complain. You will look at your wife and waste money. That is, if it is normal, I need a new blouse. That's not offering. It is more of, this shoe costs more money than I have right now in court. And I know you can only wear it on a dry day when somebody is driving you. So it's a waste. Amen? Therefore, I will buy it. No, people don't know. I'm serious. Listen. I wish you would learn how to give God offering. There are different ways. One of those ways. I remember when my son was born, I made a vow to God then. I said, once this woman has gone through delivery, deliver safely and mother and child at home, and I want to do baby dedication. Then, the little money I had, I made a budget of 100,000 naira. Then, it was a lot of money for me. I said, what am I doing with 100,000 naira? This is what I want to understand. That was not the offering that I went to church. No, it wasn't. The one I dropped to church was different. I meant for food and drink. Anybody that went to my house was meant to eat until he choked. So people say, all they drink is Guinness, stout. I bought their own and kept it. I'm not joking. Do I drink that? No, I don't. You say you want it, fine. I will buy it. I kept it. Look, my freezer was full, edge to edge. Everything was full at the end of the day. I asked my wife, how much have you spent? She told me. I took the balance. I went and added it in the offering basket again. There are times to rejoice. You will carry two of your friends or three of them. Say, boys, you don't chop before till you hated food. Say, no, come. Go and sit down somewhere. Say, eat until you drown. So what are you doing? I'm giving God offering. We'll discuss that one later. I will explain it. No, I'm serious. That's one of the ways you give offering. It's not, look, you know I'm a preacher. I need money for kingdom of mercy, don't I? And I shouldn't be the one telling you this. But it's the truth, I will tell you. Because when you have prospered by obeying divine order, and one day you can give kingdom of pocket change. So, Pastor, today I came to a meeting. The place was very hot. I don't like it. So here's the check, 6.5 million. Please, air condition the place before we come back next Saturday. Did I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Such things, people don't know how to give offering. They don't do such things with sweat. These are things you do out of pocket change to air condition the place. Just out of change, like what is going on? It's air condition. Just bring out the check. Just write it, 6 million. Pastor, shut down will be enough. If it won't be enough, let me know. If you obey divine order, you'll get to that level. Did you hear what I said? If you obey divine order, you will get to that level. Why did I digress into all of this? I said, you don't have meat. One day when I want to give God offering, I will reward my wife for not having meat. You get my point? And allow me to do the will of God at the appointed time. Because God, God can never owe you. God is always on the side of credit. You do the will of God, he will embarrass you with blessing. That one I believe. I believe it absolutely. I'm just going to explain that in life you don't have meat. You don't need to be jealous of anybody. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, they were not meat. I hope you know that. They were born about the same time, close relatives. The time Jesus Christ was still filing wood for Joseph, John the Baptist was shaking the nation with his preaching. Jesus never took a step until he heard that John had been taken into custody. Then he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It was after they took John into custody. They were about the same age. They 6 months apart. And we know about their conception. It was about 6 months apart. So we know they're about the same age. Yet it was when John was ending that Jesus was starting. You know when Joseph became prime minister, He was about the age of 30, thereabouts, right? At that time, Moses was still enjoying the palace. At the age of 40, they shook the guy into the wilderness. 40 years, the guy was tending sheep. Look, then you don't have meat. Do you follow what I'm saying? You don't have any meat. Your mates are pastoring churches that have 6,000 members. That's their personal problem. That one doesn't concern me. No, really. That one I have learned. As long as I am walking in a manner pleasing to God, I don't have any meat. I hope I've said something today. I hope you've learned something. That's my meditation for today. Let us pray.